We celebrate such a beautiful mystery today, the announcement to Mary, and I want to say something that will help that grace to reach your heart. So if you would just pray for me for a moment, that I can speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what the Lord wants you to hear. And let us entrust our prayers and each other to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, we started our prayer there with the same words that the Archangel Gabriel used. Hail, full of grace. In our translation, we hear, Hail, favored one. It's not a very good translation. Full of grace is closer, but even full of grace has something lacking in it. There are different words in Greek that would express exactly full of grace. They're the words used about Stephen in the Acts of the Apostles when it says that they selected seven deacons. One of them was full of grace, as it spoke about Stephen's witness then to the Jews. And it's a different phrase in Greek, but in Greek, the word used for Mary here is kekaritomene, and it means fully transformed by grace. It gives an indication, and the fathers of the church always read in it that it was the indication of her lifelong holiness, of her lifelong sinlessness. She is fully transformed by grace. Karitao is to be transformed by grace. Kekaritomone is the past tense completed form of that Greek verb, fully transformed by grace. That's the beauty of Our Lady. And that's really what this passage presents to us. When the angel Gabriel tells her to rejoice, it's his word also to us as we have this chance to meditate about Our Lady. But as I was preparing to preach to you, what moved my heart was just to reflect a little bit on why Our Lady is so important, and just to share a little bit about why she's so important to me. I've mentioned before, I didn't grow up Catholic or even Christian. I was unbaptized until I was 21. And when I came into the church at the age of 21, I actually didn't know very much about Our Lady, but I knew that she was important. And so I just asked her, Mary, teach me about you. I want to know you more. Want to understand why you're so important. And over the course of the next year, as that was in my heart, and that simple prayer that I had expressed then, and really it remained in my heart, slowly she began to reveal different things. And I think that Our Lady is important in a different way for men than for women. You know, male and female do make a difference after all, despite some of the tendencies or complaints of the modern world, but it does make a difference. And there's something that Mary does for men that a mother does for men. Mother has a way of softening a man. It's a beautiful, sometimes we see that very explicitly. A man who might be very tough and kind of rough around the edges, but when his mother calls him, yes, mother, just a very immediate, soft response. It's beautiful, really. And to have both the strength that a man should have and also the tenderness in his response to a mother or his response to a bride. Now, we have marriages that become hardened in different ways, maybe in their worst moments, but in their best moments, there's a romance there. A man develops a romantic heart, a softened heart. It's funny, you know, when normally men speak about 20,000, or about women speak about 20,000 words a day, men speak about 7,000 words. It's substantially less than half. But the one exception, a man will actually speak more than a woman when he falls in love. Something that a woman does in a man's heart. And these are the kinds of things that Our Lady does for us. We can have a real living relationship with her. And it was a gift in my own life that unfolded over the next year, a couple of years, to develop a very close relationship with Our Lady that to think of her, to speak to her, to reflect on her, to open my heart to her, sometimes praying the rosary, sometimes just imagining her. Just I can imagine myself very little and held by her and experience that motherhood. I can experience the tenderness of a bride as she maybe just holds me or draws close to me. And the way that a woman can soften the heart of a man, tenderize the heart of a man, then it really brings us to a kind of masculine fullness, strong and tender. It's a beautiful perfection, I think, of masculinity. And men have a way of being strong for a woman too, defending her. It's beautiful. Even in regard to Our Lady, sometimes we see that. Very strong men. We think of John Paul II in recent history, a man very robust, mountain climber, wilderness, rugged individual, strong to face the enemies of the world. I think of that image of him in South America, banging his crozier as there were Sandinista rebels that were chanting and interrupting the Mass. And he, silencio, stands firm against the work of the enemy in the midst there. And then when he turns to Our Lady, so tender, and as he speaks about her, as he said at the beginning of his pontificate and reiterated again in 2001 when he gave us that beautiful apostolic letter, Rosarium Virginis Mariae, he said, I say it again, now, as I said in the beginning of my pontificate, the rosary is simply my favorite prayer. Just hear the heart of a little boy almost bursting with love for Our Lady. So beautiful. That's what Our Lady has a way of doing in us. And for women, I see in a way of Mary models this perfection of femininity. Our Lady also has a way of being strong and tender, different than a masculine way, but still strong and tender. We see the strength of Mary as she accompanies her son on the way of the cross, the strength of her hope. And it's sometimes what a good woman will do for us, having a persevering hope, having a hope that carries through difficult times. Think of so many times in history that men have become discouraged, that maybe their physical strength or their political action or their various outreaches were running into walls, but somehow a woman in her faith, a woman in her hope, is able to carry through and give strength to her husband or give strength to her sons, give strength to her father. It's a beautiful thing. And Mary really teaches women that, I think, at the same time that she teaches a tenderness. Mary bore one son in her womb, but she bore the Son of God in her womb, and in a way she bears every person in her womb. And there's a way that once a woman has become a mother, she not only mothers her own children, she mothers everybody. I don't know, is it just me? I have lots of mothers, a lot of people mothering me all the time. All of you are thinking right now, all of you women out there, is he gonna get some socks in the winter? What's happening there? Where are we gonna get him some socks from? Mothers, you just have motherly hearts and this desire to care for and to be sensitive to the needs of others and to reach out, to provide, to sacrifice, beautiful things. And Our Lady, she shows us that. She's a mother in the midst of the apostolic community. She's there mothering all of the apostles. She's there mothering, taking care of them, these poor men that don't know how to tie their shoes or put their clothes on straight or make decisions or whatever they're doing. She's there mothering, taking care of these things, noticing all the temporal details. You know, last year at the March for Life, there was this big snowstorm and some of the buses got caught on the turnpike. And there were buses from Franciscan University, and there were, you know, several priests on those buses. And the people in the administration were in touch with the priests, and they said, you know, is everything okay? Everything's all right. You know, we've got everything under control. Everybody's taken care of, and it's going to be fine. Well, there was a mother in the administration, and she said, do they have enough food? And the priests are like, I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine. We'll survive. No, well, we need to get them food. Like, so this woman in the administration back in Steubenville starts calling around, calls a fire department that's not too far away and says, can't you get them food? Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, we have vehicles that could go over the terrain and bring them. Well, I'm just going to order. So she orders, you know, like 500 subs or whatever and gets the fire department to go and deliver them food. A mother, right? This is what mothers do. So beautiful. And Our Lady is like that. She provides when she is mediatrix of all graces, when she's providing for so many things. And that's why we turn to her. Sometimes we feel like maybe God isn't noticing. No, he's actually noticing. I'm not telling you a heresy, but we have this kind of sense, like Mary gets it. You know, she knows what we need at a human level. She knows the things that need to be provided for us. And so we have a courage and a desire to reach out to her and ask for her intercession. So it's what the church invites us to do in a special way. And one of the very simple things is that she teaches us to pray. She teaches us how to love Jesus. And I think that might be the thing that we need most of all. We can be busy about a lot of things and we can take care of a lot of details, but to really know how to pray and how to trust and how to abandon ourselves to God. The last word in the gospel, she says, "Let it be done to me according to your word." In English, that comes across as a kind of passive thing, like, oh gosh, you know, whatever. But the Greek is actually a desire. I want to do, I want it to be done. I want your will to be done to me. I want you to carry out your will for me. And that's the kind of courage and joy and desire she can teach us as well. So let's each one of us invite her to be right there with us, like a mother, as we're praying this Eucharist and inviting her son to be here and offering the sacrifice of his love. And ask her to teach us to pray and to trust, and not only to resign ourselves, but even to fervently desire God's will to be done.